The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Who knows? Maybe it's just that the media is tired of reporting on high school students going on marches. Maybe they're just tired of people that are taking issues and making them political in school. But somehow or another, I doubt that. Something tells me that there is an ideological bent to the quiet, the total silence. Shh, listen. Not a word about the pro-life march happening right now in America. What? You haven't heard about it? How's that possible? Students at more than 200 schools around the country are joining in. Sure, over the last week, with the chaos of Syria and Facebook and the FBI raids, there is a larger trove of newsworthy content, I guess. So media has moved on from the Parkland shooting and the consequent month-long parade of anti-gun mania, right? No, they really haven't. And it hasn't stopped the media from reporting on Planned Parenthood or the Women's March. The pro-life nonprofit Family Research Council has encouraged students to join the march. In a statement, the group contrasted the nationwide outrage and media coverage, and yes, there is an overlap that followed the Parkland shooting, resulting in the March 14th walkout. They say, quote, prior to the March 14th walkout, Julian Benzel, a history teacher at Rockland High School in Sacramento, California, started a discussion among her students as to whether school officials would allow students time out of the class for a demonstration to raise awareness about the lives lost to abortion. As a result of the discussion she initiated, Benzel was placed on administrative leave for 2 days, likely only reinstated because of the widespread backlash over her suspension. So, why the silence today? Kids today are standing up for life. Kids today are taking on their own administration, which the media said was so very important and courageous and worth covering. But the media has failed its test, as it does day after day. But there is hope in the country, because there are those people who are willing to be grossly outnumbered, mocked, ridiculed, called names, because they'll stand for what is right.
It's Wednesday, April 11th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So it was a little bit awkward yesterday, occasionally tense. It was kind of funny, sort of dramatic, then really awkward again. There were times that I screamed at the screen. There were times I just shook my head in disbelief. It was almost as entertaining as the movie about Facebook, the social network, except it was twice as long. Had really bad lighting, and there were way more old people in yesterday's episode. It was Mark Zuckerberg testifying in front of Congress yesterday, and I'm not sure what he was doing. Are you, Stu?
Not sure what he was doing? I mean,
what was he doing? Did you hear him when he was asked, are you responsible for the content?
Yeah, and he said yes. I mean, I think he was saying that in the buck stops here, right? Which is what we would want him to say.
Except every attorney, anybody who is, I mean, how many pictures have been posted that are copywritten pictures?
Right.
How many times have people posted something that has a copyright or a trademark and you can't do that? How many times has somebody posted something completely irresponsible? Since we began this monologue with, 1.2 billion users, you can't keep up with that.
No, of course
not.
That's
a lawsuit. That could bankrupt Facebook.
Yeah, I think his general point was we have to do more. I think you can make a legitimate argument. It's really not their fault at all about these data breaches. I think you can make a legitimate argument. And it's one that, I don't know, if I'm CEO of Facebook, I might make. I certainly would make arguments like, you know, I'd sit down and I'd say, hey, thanks a lot for asking me these questions, but it's none of your freaking business. You know what? It's none of your freaking business. I run a private company. Get out of my face. That's the real answer to politicians when they come peering their, you know, they're trying to get their grubby hands on his business and they want to regulate it. And he was like,
well, my attitude is that we're not against regulation. We're against bad regulation, but we're fine with the good stuff.
You know, there is no good stuff. There is no good stuff. You know, and that's, I think, one of those situations where he needs, I would have wanted to be, and I'm sure he wanted to be a little bit more aggressive, but he stayed back. Well, for example, like for the data, they had an agreement that you signed to get on Facebook. Then you agree to share your data with the third-party app. Facebook has an agreement with the third-party app that says don't share your data outside of the uses that we've agreed with. Then that third party shared it with another company. That's the breach. It wasn't Facebook's breach. It was the third party's breach. Now, his answer to that is like, well, you know, we should be responsible. We should be holding these people up to more. In reality, I think he could have made a legitimate argument that that was not his fault at all.
I don't even think make a legitimate argument. I think let me just take this with another product or service. You go and you buy a truck. You have an unspoken agreement that the truck is going to be used the way trucks were built to use. You buy the truck from the dealership. It's a GM truck. You then go take that and you drive that truck through a crowd. Is the dealership responsible? Or is the truck, is GM responsible? No.
Right.
And they didn't even have a contract saying, hey, I won't drive this truck through a crowd and kill people. That's just implied. This one, there was a contract. Not the Facebook thing that everybody just clicks on. One where it was, hey, will you share your information with this company? Yes. So you said yes. Then the company, they clicked, I won't share it with anybody else. But they did. They're the driver of the truck. How is Facebook responsible?
I think you're totally right. And what Zuckerberg's argument yesterday was look, we probably shouldn't be selling trucks to people who might drive into crowds. Well, how the hell do you know that?
Minority Report.
Yeah, and that seems to be the road they're going down. He's talking about how AI is going to be implemented within, they think, 5 years to eliminate hate speech.
But listen to
hell does that mean?
Here's Zuckerberg talking to Ben Sasse, who says, can you define hate speech? Listen to this.
You may decide, or Facebook may decide, it needs to police a whole bunch of speech that I think America might be better off not having policed by one company that has a really big and powerful platform. Can you define hate speech?
Senator, I think that this is a really hard question. And I think it's one of the reasons why we struggle with it. There are certain definitions that we have around calling for violence or...
Let's just agree on that. If somebody's calling for violence, that shouldn't be there. I'm worried about the psychological categories around speech. There are some really passionately held views about the abortion issue on this panel today. Can you imagine a world where you might decide that pro-lifers are prohibited from speaking about their abortion views on your content, on your platform?
I certainly would not want that to be the case.
But it might really be unsettling to people who've had an abortion to have an open debate about that, wouldn't it?
It might be, but I don't think that would fit any of the definitions of what we have.
Now, the Ted Cruz asked him about Planned Parenthood. Asked him, you know, have they ever been banned? Are you doing anything on pro-life? Have you ever kicked any pro-life people off? Zuckerberg he doesn't have a real definition of hate speech. And here's the problem. Do not fear AI. Don't fear AI. There's no reason to fear AI. Fear the goals that AI is given. So you have Mark Zuckerberg. Well, we're going to have AI and it's going to police hate speech. Okay. That sounds, well, spooky to me, but I guess good to some. But sounds really spooky to me. How do you define hate speech? Well, I mean, there's lots of, I mean, you know, calling for violence. Okay, all right. How do you define hate speech? What are you teaching AI? You can't come to me and say, hey, well, AI is going to take care of a lot of this, and then tell me you don't really know what hate speech is. Define it. What is it you're putting into the program? What are you teaching AI is hate speech?
Right. I mean, we can't decide on that. The Atlantic, it disagrees with itself that first they're hiring for a salary, Kevin Williamson. The next day they're firing him because they think he's engaged in hate speech. This is one organization. They can't even make up their own mind about one person in his commentary.
Here's Ted Cruz going up against Zuckerberg on this.
Do you know of those 15 to 20,000 people engaged in content review? How many, if any, have ever supported financially a Republican candidate for office?
Senator, I do not know that.
Your testimony says it is not enough that we just connect people. We have to make sure those connections are positive. It says we have to make sure people aren't using their voice to hurt people or spread misinformation. We have a responsibility not just to build tools, to make sure those tools are used for good. Mr. Zuckerberg, do you feel it's your responsibility to assess users whether they are good and positive connections or ones that those 15 to 20,000 people deem unacceptable or deplorable?
Senator, you're asking about me personally?
Facebook.
Senator, I think that there are a number of things that we would all agree are clearly bad. Foreign interference in our elections, terrorism, self-harm.
I'm talking about censorship.
Well, I think that you would probably agree that we should remove terrorist propaganda from the service. So that, I agree, I think is clearly bad activity that we want to get down, and we're generally proud of how well we do with that. Now, what I can say, and I do want to get this in before the end here, is that I am very committed to making sure that Facebook is a platform for all ideas.
I will tell you, I sat in a room with him 2 years ago, and I know, you know, people disagree with me on this, and that's fine. I sat with him, and I looked a man in the eye, and we do not agree on policies. We do not agree on politics. It's very clear. But I will tell you this. I truly felt, he felt it was impossible and suicidal to get involved in politics because it's a global company. And he said, we are dealing with 1.2 billion users. We cannot keep up with it. We cannot. What is deemed hate speech in one place is not hate speech in another place. How could we possibly keep up with it? How could we possibly keep up with all of the candidates? And why would we do that? And it was a real point of frustration that I felt he had been wrestling with himself long before any of this happened. He was wrestling with, he wants to do the right thing. He wants to create a better world, whatever version that is. And we may disagree with a better world and what he believes is creating a better world. But he has wrestled with this, and he doesn't feel that it is possible to do it.
And I think he's right on that, although that's not what he expressed
yesterday.
That's
not what he was saying yesterday.
He was talking about hiring people all over the globe because, you know, if you are in Uganda,
mm-hmm.
hate speech is a lot different than it is in the United States. You can't just look for the same slur translated. Whatever hate speech is in Uganda is totally different than what it is here.
This is the road that they're going to go down. They're going to put themselves out of business.
Yeah, because they're doing things that their customers don't really want. Politicians want it. The media wants it. What their customers want is, I followed a page, I want the stuff from that page. I made a choice to click like, give me the stuff they say. That's what they want. What Facebook is now saying is, we know you say that's what you want, but we know what you want better than you. We think you want better connections, or we think you want less passive media content. We think you want, you know,
whatever.
Seeing pictures of your friend's kids rather than reading a news story about Syria. And so we're going to prioritize that content over others. They're playing with their algorithm. And again, it's their right to do this.
Yes.
But they're doing things that are playing to the media, playing to politicians, and not playing to their customers.
No, you know what they're doing? Remember I said Facebook is the replacement for television news, the internet, for radio, for the telephone. It's the way we communicate with each other. It's the way we get our news. I said that about 5-6 years ago. This is what it is. It is now becoming a utility, and people are using it as such. Well, what do those utilities always do? Those utilities always say, well, I know best. For instance, they are becoming a news source, but they're becoming CBS News, which said, we know what is right, we know what you want, and so we're going to give you these stories. The other stories we're going to disregard with, for instance, the stories about the walkout at schools on abortion. Who's covering that? Well, Facebook has given you the opportunity to cover that. Whether you do or not, you have the opportunity. But if they use their algorithm to skew things, then even if you follow somebody who you know would be the guy who would bring that story up, you may not see their tweet about it, their Facebook post. They're becoming the old media.
Glenn Beck.
One thing's for sure, Glenn, Mark Zuckerberg really liked the questions he was being asked.
Senator, this is an important question. Senator, that's a great question. Senator, this is actually a very important question. I'm glad you brought this up. Senator, that's a good and important question here. Senator, I think that this is a really hard question. Senator, those are all important questions. Senator, this is a really big question. Senator, this is a very important question. Senator, I think the core question you're asking about AI transparency is a really important one. Yes, that's a good question. Yes, Senator, this is a good question. I think you raise an important question.
And for the witness, Mr. Zuckerberg, the hearing is adjourned.
There you go.
Good questions.
It was a good series of questions.
You may have Mark, that up. I'd have to tell you, I wish I could say that about your answers, but I can't really say that about your answers.
I thought he actually did okay.
He did okay. I just don't know what he was going for. When you say, well, I mean, you know, look, he believes in, you know, bigger government than I do. But when you're running a company to say, you know, I welcome regulation. No, well, I don't welcome regulation.
And we kind of talked about this off the air yesterday. You welcome regulation and then you say, well, it just depends. It has to be the right regulation. It doesn't really mean anything. And he kept saying that over and over again. What does it mean? Well, the right regulation to him is probably, regulation that helps him and hurts his new competitors that are coming up, which is, of course, what regulation does all the time. It blocks the little guys from being able to get on board with that regulation. And he actually did mention that. A lot of this regulation is going to stop smaller companies from being able to correspond with it.
It always does. Hmm. It always does. Back in a minute, some really disturbing news out of Russia.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
When you want to sell your house, you have to make some important decisions. And there's a lot. Like, what do you put it on the market for? And, how do you get through all the difficult paperwork? And how do you know who to trust? Well, you need a real estate agent to help you through with all of that. But if you can't trust your real estate agent, you can't solve any of those issues. That's why realestateagentsitrust.com exists. You can go there. They will make it easy for you. You go to realestateagentsitrust.com and you look for the best agent in your area. They have over 1,200 of them nationwide, and they've been vetted carefully by the people at realestateagentsitrust.com. If you need to sell your house, you need to sell it fast. You need to sell it for the most money. It's been a good market for a long time now. Hopefully you have some equity in your home if you want to sell it. Or if you're looking to buy, it might be the right time to buy as we're getting into spring and people are starting to really look out on the market and go check out new houses. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. You'll be introduced to the best agent in your town. Let these agents earn your business. Get moving with realestateagentsitrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
It's a couple of things that are, I think, disturbing in the news today. One is, as we played for you just a few minutes ago, what the national broadcast was in Russia last night, where they were saying store food and water and powdered milk and know where your nearest bomb shelter is, because we may be on the eve of nuclear war with the United States. But don't panic. That was the message on their news last night. Our message on Syria was nothing. We need to understand what we're dealing with here. The Russians have already said 2 years ago, the world is already in World War III. It just doesn't know it, and the West won't pay attention. So they have been laying this groundwork for a long time. But I want you to see what the statement was from Russia. Now, remember, what President Trump is doing is sending missiles over to teach Assad, the animal, a lesson. Don't use chemical weapons. Okay? As long as no Russians are hurt, maybe we're okay. But is that true? Listen to this from Russia.
From Russian ambassador to Lebanon, said, if there's a strike by the Americans, then we refer to the statements of Vladimir Putin and the chief of staff that the missiles will be downed. You've heard that all over the media today. But he adds, and even the sources from which the missiles were fired.
Now, does that mean that if a Russian troop were attacked, or just firing of the missiles? Can you verify that? What is the caveat here? Because listen, because they did kind of clarify, but I don't think it makes it better.
Yes, a smart missile should be aimed at terrorists, not at legitimate Syrian the legitimate Syrian government that is fighting international terrorism on its territory. So, I mean, of course, our idea of what is a legitimate terrorist target and theirs are quite different. I mean, and they believe anything associated with the Assad government is not a legitimate target. Now, of course, that's what we're actually targeting.
Yeah, we believe we're targeting their bases in any place that help them disperse chemical weapons.
Which, by the way, were removed many years ago.
Yes, of course, by Russia. Mm-hmm. So
we're fine.
We are in the world is, we may be in a Cuban missile crisis, but we're completely unaware of it. We better wake up and say our prayers here that cooler heads prevail, and whatever is coming is executed properly. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to war with Russia.
I can't believe we're back here after all of the diplomacy between Rocky Balboa and Ivan Drago. You know, they all that hard work that they did to bring the two countries together.
That was a movie.
It's a documentary. Yeah, why not?
It's written by Sylvester Stallone. It didn't really happen. Pat is here. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Pat. You were disturbed yesterday by Zuckerberg.
Yeah, well, not by him specifically. More the Congress, more the senators, more the American government that thinks it's their business to dictate to a private owner what he should be doing in his business. The only one who made any sense really was Ted Cruz, because he cited a specific law, and I'm not familiar with the law, neither was Zuckerberg. But Ted was. Ted, of course, knew. And I think it must be a law based on receiving tax breaks, is what it sounded like to me. Because if you're biased, you're not going to get the tax breaks because you're not neutral. And that's what he was trying to get at. Are you neutral, or do you consider yourself a biased organization? Because here's all the conservatives that you've censored. And so I thought that was pretty legitimate. But the rest of this stuff, Congress has no business dictating to a private business owner. I'm not a fan of Zuckerberg, and I don't have a real love for Facebook either.
No. But you're a monster on Facebook,
a monster.
Pat. I mean, you're one of the biggest, most prolific posters in Facebook
history. I
don't know
if Facebook would exist without my posts.
No, I don't think it does.
No, you know?
I think it's back to like a just at Harvard.
Yeah.
It just goes back to that.
Yes. Lindsey Graham yesterday demanding that that Mark Zuckerberg identify whether or not his business is a monopoly. Well, what do you mean, whether my business is a monopoly? There was something called MySpace before me, which I just did better. We're doing the same thing, only people like it better, and that, it's not my fault it went out of business.
Not to mention there's 2,500 other social networks,
yeah,
many of them with very large reaches.
But he wanted to know if there's somebody doing exactly what Facebook does. Well, if not, start it yourself, Lindsay.
Look,
Well, I didn't, but I stole it from my roommate, and maybe you should steal something from your roommate, and you can start making money off of it.
I mean, it's amazing that he was asked, why did you buy Instagram?
Yeah, none of your business why I bought Instagram. Why do you think I bought Instagram? Because it was successful, and we thought it was a good investment. What do you mean, why did I buy Instagram? What a bizarre question for a supposedly conservative senator, which we all know he's not.
Well, no, but there is a difference between a progressive conservative.
No, I don't think so.
And even Lindsey Graham. I do. I think a progressive.
I don't think you're conservative if you're progressive, but we've always
disagreed
differed on that.
I think you can be socially conservative
and big
government.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is. Yeah. He obviously is.
Yeah.
And so he needs to be telling him none of your stinking business on many of these questions. Yeah. Graham asked him what we tell our constituents. Tell them it's a private business and it's none of your business. And if you don't like Facebook, don't post anything on it. Don't become a member of Facebook. How about that?
Facebook. I don't know. We did pretty well without it for a long, long time.
Well, for the first 7,000 years of human existence, we didn't have Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, early on we had it.
Well, 6,000
no,
something.
The Earth is only 5,000 years old.
Okay.
So I don't think I buy that, Pat. I don't think I buy that.
There's a part of me that wants a little bit, like, not 100% there, but, you know, 20% towards, like, the pharma bro guy that just went to prison. That, you remember, he, like, bought that drug and he just raised the price by, like, 60,000%. And then, like, every time people would ask him, he would answer just like that. Screw you. You kind of want Zuckerberg to just kind of stand up on the table and just grab his crotch and be like, eat this and walk out.
So I will tell you this.
Yes.
I went and I looked back at the Howard Hughes testimony, because Howard Hughes, before he went nuts, they came after him, and they were coming after him because of Pan Am. He had TWA and Pan Am was the big competitor. Pan Am was in bed with senators and had all kinds of payoffs happening in Washington, and they wanted to shut down TWA. And so during the war, Hughes, who was an aircraft builder, Hughes Aircraft, he got all kinds of government money to build, you know, specified planes that some of them were crazy. The Spruce Goose is one of them. The Spruce Goose should never have flown, but they were looking for something light, something that could be made out of material that we had an abundance of. So he said we could try lumber. Now you're making a wooden plane that was 5 stories tall. The wingspan was a full city block. Okay? That thing is not going to fly. Well, the war ends. Spruce Goose is still being worked on, hasn't flown, and they're saying you defrauded us. You were just getting rich off the taxpayer, and they were just trying to smear him to hurt TWA. Now, it's a great testimony, but it's not as compressed and as full of fireworks as the as the writers made this drama in The Aviator with Leonardo DiCaprio, but the spirit is there. So here's how Howard Hughes dealt with the Inquisition in his day. Listen to this.
I might have been willing to sit back and take a certain amount of abuse simply because, well, I am only a private citizen, whereas you are a senator with all sorts of powers. But I think this damn circus has gone on long enough.
Quite sufficient.
You have called me a liar, sir, in the press. You have called me a liar and a thief and a war profiteer.
Witness will restrain his
Why comments. Not tell the truth for once, Senator? Why not tell the truth that this investigation was really born on the day that TWA first decided to fly to you?
So he walks out, and it really does happen in the movie where he walks out of, I mean, it happens in the movie, but it happened in real life, too. He was done. He's like, I don't answer to you. I don't answer to you.
Yeah.
I'm doing business, and you are feeding everyone against me all of the questions in advance. Will you give me the questions? Well, they were like, no, we're not. No, that's out of order. You're telling me you're not giving them the questions in advance. Can I get the questions in advance like everybody else here? I mean, he took them to task.
That might be the last time a private citizen took Congress to task and reminded them, I don't work for you. You work for me. I don't have to kowtow. I don't have to tremble in fear here. You're not my overlords, because that's now pretty much our thought process when somebody goes before Congress. Has anybody ever since Howard Hughes treated it this way? I don't think so.
Remember when they were really coming after us and there was rumor that they were going to call me to testify in front of Congress? And I said on the air, oh, let me, because I would have said that. Okay. But as it started to get serious, my attorneys were saying, no, 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 no. And I'm like, oh, no, let me at him. Let me at him. No, because they create all of the rules.
Yeah.
They create all of the rules. They can say anything, bring you any topic. And if you say one thing wrong, you can go to jail.
This is why they don't want Trump to testify with Mueller. It's right. Not because he's colluded with Russians. It's because they
control everything.
Right. And he says one thing wrong, and obviously he's not always exact in his language.
It's that it's that old, why would I be bothered by this? I don't have anything to hide. Well, you don't know what they'll consider something bad.
Yeah.
That's why you have something to hide.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going to make out of what you say to them.
Yes.
It's terrible.
And Howard Hughes, I think, got away with it because he had so much money.
Yeah.
And he was also bat crap crazy.
Pretty much.
But he had so much money, he didn't care. Mm-hmm. He just didn't care.
And the problem here is Zuckerberg is like-minded with a lot of these guys. He believes that the government has a hand in his business.
Yes.
So that makes it a lot worse.
Yes. Thanks, Pat.
Glenn Beck. Okay, so
I want to tell you about a new politician getting into the race, Eric John Schmidt.
It's always good new leaders.
He's running for city council in West Hollywood. And he has decided that he wants to be completely transparent.
Great. I mean, that's what we want out of our politicians.
Yeah.
We don't want them to be hiding anything.
TMI here on this one. Schmidt released his profile, Dudes Nude, his profile page.
On dudesnude.com?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's his is Need to Be Nude. And he provided links for everybody.
Oh, that's
He's
good.
Got 23 photographs, some showing him nude and some showing him engaged in sexual activities with other men. He also posted six videos of himself having sex. And profile that opens up with the statement, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've had a lot of hot sex and never got an STD. I'm drug and disease free.
Wow. Hashtag life goals, huh?
Right. So he says, I'm 100% trans merit and I only have good intentions. I'm not running against anyone. I'm running for their seat. I have nothing negative to say about others and I never will.
That's the verbiage you want to use in that particular circumstance.
Don't say that. I don't think that it'll hurt my campaign any more than it would be a candidate stamp collecting hobby.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much the same.
Well, I might disagree. My hobbies do not affect any other part of my life. I don't think it, I think it will help my campaign for people who believe the human body is art. Plus, it shows that I believe in transparency and I'm not afraid to express myself. I'm not a nudist. I don't do everything nude, but I am an exhibitionist. I am kind of shy, but I also like other people watching me have sex. So what a way to launch your campaign. And in today's America, he just might win.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.